And happy Thursday. Happy Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Candy day, right?
Yeah, actually Halloween today, which I don't know how you all celebrate, but I wish you a very happy, spooky Halloween. Max showed up as Cillian Murphy today from Peaky Blinders.
You look good, yeah.
And Oppenheimer.
I'll take it.
I showed up as a suburban dad.
Nailed it.
Nailed it, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
You got a dad joke for us?
Oh, I got plenty of them. Okay. They'll come to mind as the as the show rolls along. Yes.
Perfect.
I love a good dad joke.
Yeah. And I showed up as Austin Wells.
You did. You looked like Austin Wells. At least you didn't make an error last night.
Oh, boy, was that tough. Did you guys watch the World Series? I know Mac and I were dialed in.
Yeah.
I thought we lost you for a little bit because we obviously text each other throughout the night in a group text, which you all have those text groups. And Judge obviously hits the home run.
I called it over for the Yankees.
Yeah,
I was just freezing cold takes.
Yeah.
I said, this is over. The Yankees are winning. Because when something miraculous happens, it usually, and Aaron Judge got a hit. It was amazing.
Yeah, they go back to back. Jazz Chisholm hits a fly ball 390 feet and pimped it out like he hit a 500-foot home run.
That guy was luck by him, though.
That guy kind of makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. But if he's on your team, you love him, right?
I don't think I would.
You don't think so? You don't think that's the guy?
Because I wouldn't want a guy who's hitting 156. Acting like he's hitting 380. I'd be like Chisholm hit that home run, and like literally him and Judge both hit home runs. Judge was a bomb.
Yeah.
Like he hit his like I think it was like 402 or 403. So that's out of any stadium. Like that's out of Kauffman. That's out wherever.
Sure.
Chisholm hits his home run. It's like 392. It's a skyscraper of a home run. And he's like standing at home plate, looking around. I'm like, dude, you suck.
You hate him that much. And part of it is, I'd love to hit a World Series home run, though, right? I mean, how cool would that be, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't know. And they go up 5-0.
Ugh.
And then Garrett Cole gets two massive strikeouts.
Two massive strikeouts.
I mean, strikes out Otani, strikes out, who hits second? Is it Mookie?
Mookie Betts, yeah.
So Mookie Betts hits second, struck him out.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Freddie Freeman base hit. And then Teoscar Hernandez dribbles one to right, and Garrett Cole forgets to cover the bag. And I looked at my buddy as soon as that happened, and I said, the Dodgers are alive.
The Dodgers are going to win this thing because they took advantage of it, you know?
And it was 5-5.
Yeah.
Judge drops a foul ball.
Fly ball.
Or fly ball. Volpe doesn't get it to third.
Ugh.
Cole doesn't cover first. Final score 7-6, game over.
That's all in one inning, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all in one inning.
Garrett Cole pitched for 23 minutes.
I know. It was crazy. He had like 24 some extra pitches or 28 extra pitches in that inning because they couldn't get out of their own way. And you know, like Judge with the fly ball clearly took his eyes off it, kid. So if you're a baseball player or a softball player, watch Aaron Judge. Don't do what Aaron Judge did. He was looking to make a play or something right away and didn't. And Volpe can't throw at the third. Now, I will give credit to the runner for kind of getting in the way and getting the break on the bag. You're a major leaguer. You still need to make that play, but the Garrett Cole one where he didn't cover first base was almost just like
he
gave
pointed.
Up. Like, yeah, he's like pointing like he got
Rizzo,
it.
Rizzo the whole time was like, dude, I'm not going
to
make that.
I'm not making it. I can't get there. But, you know, like you had mentioned it to me in spring training every year. We hear about these PFPs, these pitchers fielding position, I think is what it stands
What's
for.
What's the first thing you see when spring training
that's
starts?
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Fake like throw, cover
all
first.
All that stuff. Yeah. Like pitchers and catchers report early so they can work on running to the base. Like, and I always joke about it. Like, okay, we got to practice this. Obviously,
I could literally hear Diddy Matthews being, "See, Ryan, that's why in spring training they practice it."
Yeah, well, the Yankees clearly didn't practice it, but like Garrett Cole just froze and almost had like this, and he pitched good yesterday. Like he was fantastic until that inning, but he should have been out of that
he
inning too. You know, Judge makes a catch, and you know, Aaron Judge needs to make that catch. Volpe needs to make that play. I give less blame to Garrett Cole than anybody else out there because he should have been out of that inning a long time ago. But I was just kind of going through like meltdowns, like sports meltdowns, and a lot of them are like series meltdowns, like you blow a series or something like that. But this one, I mean, my God, this is up there with Bill Buckner. This is up there with the Houston Oilers blowing a playoff game to Buffalo back in the, you know, when Warren Moon was the quarterback and they
Texans.
Were down like 35-0, and a 24-point, you know, meltdown with the Houston Texans here, a 10-point meltdown by Tennessee, a 10-point meltdown by San Francisco in the Super Bowl. But I mean,
Eagles,
I mean, I just don't know like how you overcome something like that. I guess next year you're going to be talking about obviously a new team. Mm-hmm. And if this was, you know, George Steinbrenner still running the Yankees, he'd fire everybody this morning and you know, clean house in that entire organization. But that was a meltdown unlike any other. And then you get to where we were this morning driving in, and buses are on fire and stores are being looted, and the entire city of LA is under siege right now because they won the World Series.
Why do you do that if you win?
I never understood that, man. Like, it used to be like back in the day, Detroit, you would see that, like they would win a championship and something, I feel like, and it would happen up there, like the Tigers in 84 or whatever.
The one I remember most is I think there was a hockey team that won, and they flipped the town literally on fire.
Yeah, like, was it Vancouver? Wasn't it?
Was that who it was? It wasn't long ago. Like in the last, you know, half a decade, last 5 years, I remember like there was like buses getting lit on fire. They were like turning cars over, like rioting in the streets. And I'm like the most that happens now, maybe it's because it's the Midwest, but the most thing that like happens when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, the Royals win a World Series, fireworks and gunshots. Yeah. Like that's all I ever see or hear. Like, I'm like, that wasn't a Roman candle. That was a 22.
Right.
That's a good firework. And I'm like, it's Sunday night. Chiefs won the Super Bowl. But like, burning your town down, looting stores, and acting like buffoons is just like mind-boggling. Like, you sent me the text this morning, like, check this out. And I'm like, what are people doing?
There's a Twitter account out there, like the LA Police Scanner, I think it is. I just followed it this morning. It's a great follow. I mean, they're showing video of everything. Like a Fogo de Chao was getting looted. I mean, were they stealing meat? Like, you go, like if you were going to steal meat, would you go for the filet or the ribeye? Like, you go filet? Oh, see, yeah. I love a good ribeye. If the Fogo de Chao was being looted, I'm going in there. I'm grabbing every ribeye I can find. But you know, Foot Locker's getting looted. There was a Nike store that was getting looted. Like, you win a championship, so you go destroy somebody else's property.
Yeah.
Again, the say it out loud test, right? Like, wait, what?
We just won. Let's go burn down Foot Locker.
Yeah.
What did Mark just say?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's throw rocks at everybody and bottles. Yeah. And I mean, like, the bus on fire.
Nothing gets me going than shattering a windshield.
I know.
Of a car I don't know. Like, imagine the guy that woke up, like, who took, like, NyQuil because he had, like, a sore throat or a cough.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, deep sleep, woke up. It's like, why is my car on fire? Like,
where is my car? Did I get drunk last night? Like, where the hell's my car?
We won the World Series. I thought we were down 5-0.
Yeah. Went to bed down 5-0, woke up with no car.
So after the game, obviously, you know, you look at both sides of the teams. Like, obviously, Freddie Freeman was World Series MVP. Oh, that was a slam dunk.
I even texted one point, like, if they would have lost the World Series, I think he would have been a distant memory because Aaron Judge hit that big home run.
Or he won the World Series MVP if they lost.
Can you give it to a loser? I mean, I know
Jerry
West.
Last time it's happened.
Yeah, I know you can, but like, I mean, something else would have happened, I would imagine. Like, if the Yankees would have come back and won,
probably would have gotten to, like, Garrett Cole, because he would have won this game and probably Game 7.
Probably Game 7.
Because they brought
in
Walker Buehler to close it out.
Smart.
Yeah, he just gave him the whole, like, are you not entertained? But I think the two questions that arise at the end of this World Series involve two different people, one a manager, one a player.
Yeah.
Is Boone fired?
I don't think so.
It's New York.
Yeah.
So that's what I always put in my perspective. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, this is the Yankees.
But it's not George anymore. It's the kids running the franchise. So it's different, I think.
Right.
I think. I mean, do you have to fire somebody? I mean,
how long's Boone been there? 7 years?
7 or 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
how many World Series?
That was his first. Yeah.
And he damn near got swept.
Yeah, he did.
And that
meltdown yesterday is worse than getting swept, by the
way. And that meltdown and the decision he made in game one.
Mm-hmm.
Are kind of on
him. Which one? Taking out Garrett Cole or putting in Nestor Cortez?
Cortez, who hadn't pitched in like 6 months.
But you took Cole out with 88 pitches, too.
And Cortez gave it the grand slam.
Yeah.
You were up 3-2 with two outs.
Yeah, I know.
Game's over.
Game's over. That's done.
The whole series has shifted.
Yep.
You win game one. I think the statistics say like 75% of the time, whoever wins game one wins the World Series.
The whole thing. Yeah.
It's something like that high.
Yep.
And that happens, your team is completely depleted.
Right.
Freddie Freeman is now awoken even more.
Oh, God,
hits a home run the next night. Hits a home run the next night. Then you win the elimination game, and then you completely collapse in that game. And the other thing that I found interesting on Boone's side is when Garrett Cole, who is a horse veteran, he knows what he's doing, right or wrong. But I still think that in this day and age of baseball, no matter how much of a veteran you are, whether you're Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, or hell, even if you're Cole Reagans.
He belongs in that category, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more so experienced here. Like, I don't care. If you've been on the mound for 17 minutes and it's not going well, somebody's got to go out there.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go out there and be like, hey, man, it's still tied. I know this sucks. We're hitting the ball well, but just, you're okay. Because Garrett Cole was disheveled. Yeah. Like, I was watching a veteran horse out there, and he was like, God, oh, my
Yeah, Smoltz
God,
was
know?
Talking about that. With the pitch clock, you don't have the ability to just stop. And after that play to first base where he didn't cover, that's where somebody needs to go out there and pause this thing a little bit and say, okay.
Or a player. They finally did a mound visit with all the players, and, like, Rizzo's a veteran.
Too late at that point.
Exactly.
You know? Way too late at that point.
Rizzo's a veteran. Didn't go out there. Hey, man, that's my bad. I didn't cover first. Even though it was Cole's fault. Take blame. Give him some relaxation. Volpe, you're a superstar shortstop in the making. Go have that moment. Jazz Chisholm, you love to talk. Why can't you talk to your pitcher?
Yeah.
You know, all this sort of stuff. And
Salvi's ass would have been out there.
Oh, and what we talked about in that one divisional game. Like, Salvi went out and talked to Irsig.
That's
and then it was boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. And done. Yep.
Matt Cotrero on this show said the very same thing. That's what Sal does. He's a veteran. He knows when those moments are, and he takes advantage of it. Nobody did that for Garrett Cole. And sorry, but when the sky was falling, no one was there to be an umbrella.
Yeah, somebody needed to be that guy last night. And, I mean, maybe it shows you they're not a team. I don't know. You know, and that's kind of what I think, too. Like, everybody's just an individual out there. Yeah. The biggest individual, Juan Soto, the last guy to leave the dugout last night for the Yankees, and people are wondering if that is an omen that he's done, you know, with the New York Yankees. I think it's imperative if you're the Yankees after losing this World Series. You can't allow Juan Soto to sign with the Mets. I mean, you've got to match any possible offer you get out there. But that's going to be a wild free agent experience, because he said after the game he's open to any team. Hey, Royals, let's go.
18-1 odds.
18-1 odds, Royals, let's go. John, so scratch a check.
Saying there's a chance.
Yeah, get Juan Soto in here.
Yeah,
we need a bat.
I did see, which I thought was hilarious, that if he does go elsewhere, the number one player the Yankees will pursue is Pete Alonso.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he goes to the Mets, then the Yankees would probably go get Pete Alonso from
the
Mets.
You know how many cranks Pete Alonso will hit that short porch?
Oh, my God,
portion,
yes.
Right?
That would be good
I'm
for him.
I'm taking his over home run total. That'd be, like, the second bet I make. Bobby Witt MVP future and Pete Alonso over 42 home runs.
Well, you got to think right now the Bobby Witt futures are going to be popping with MVPs. He should be the favorite today to win the MVP next year based on what we just saw with Aaron Judge.
That beautiful voice is Bob Fesco.
Thank
Mac Morey's, you haven't heard quite yet, you will. His pipes are warming up because he was really excited for the Yankees to win last night. I am Dusty Likens. We come back. Ryan Clark said something and did something that I'm kind of confused about. He dressed up as Bill Belichick.
I saw that. That was creepy.
Are we okay with that? 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on a Halloween Thursday.
Boo!
Yep.
Would that scare you?
No. I can tell you what scares me, but I don't think I would be here the next day. It is kind of scary that all these people are, riding the coattails of other teams other than the Chiefs. Ryan Clark, obviously there's Halloween themes everywhere. There's, you know, people that, you know, have their takes. They have, you know, what they think is going to be, you know, whatever, however it will be. Like, I think the Chiefs are great, but, like, they're not better than X. And I thought we had audio of it, but I'll just read the tweet. Ryan Clark says, I'm picking the Chiefs as a scarier team over the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson.
Ravens,
yeah. Lamar Jackson is the best player alive.
In Baltimore? Or
this is the year that Lamar becomes the champion. Even at their best, the Chiefs do not beat this team in the playoffs.
So Lamar didn't practice yesterday because he's hurt, just so you know.
No, he's tired.
Oh, is he tired? Because I thought I saw somewhere where there was a back and a hip
First off, let's debunk this. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is just veteran rest. Like, Mahomes is still young enough, and I know Lamar is too, but, like, Lamar's a different quarterback. But, like, if Mahomes were to go up to Andy and be like, hey, man, I'm not really feeling today. Like, I'm fine, but, like, can we just say that I've got, like, you know, a sore shoulder? And I think this happens more, and I think that in today's world of sports, we see, like, you know, what's the terminology where they just rest their players, like in the NBA?
Load management is what it is. Yeah,
yeah.
Look, I don't have
that's
a problem
all this
with
is.
That. But they need to say that because Dexter Lawrence sat out yesterday, and they put it in the injury report. Load management day.
Yeah.
Veteran day of rest. And I swear I saw something yesterday that, you know, Lamar was kind of banged up a little bit. And to sit there and say that he's the best player on planet Earth, it's a slap in the face again to the guy who is the best player on planet Earth, and that is Patrick Mahomes. Is he having the the best statistical season? No, but if you're going to start a team in the NFL and you don't take Patrick Mahomes with the first overall pick, well, you're a moron wrapped in an idiot. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Nobody on earth is drafting Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes if you're starting an NFL franchise. I mean, nobody, yeah, unless you're on drugs, nobody else is doing something like that. And so when you sit there and say that Lamar Jackson is the best player on earth, that is a direct slap in the face of Patrick Mahomes, who has proven time and time again that he is the best player on earth, and he is this quarterback that's leading this undefeated team right now, mm-hmm, that does have a shot to go undefeated and win a Super Bowl championship undefeated. Like, it's not that far out of the realm that the Chiefs could run the table and be the first undefeated team to ever win a Super Bowl. And we still have people out here talking about other guys being the best player in the game. And I love Lamar. I've been a Lamar apologist my entire career. But I also understand that Lamar Jackson is a rung below Patrick Mahomes, because there's one thing that Patrick Mahomes does better than everybody else in sports: win. He wins better than everybody else. He knows how to win. He knows how to make the plays. He knows how to put his team in position to be successful and get those wins. Nobody else on planet Earth has that ability that Patrick Mahomes does. And so when I hear stuff from Ryan Clark, who I absolutely adore and love, say, oh, Lamar Jackson's the best player on planet Earth, I have to wonder, was he taking crazy pills that day?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of the reason why narratives are created within the sports discussion of Chiefs and next man up, or Ravens and whom, when it comes to it. And if you want, this is the audio of Ryan Clark saying what he said.
I'm picking the Ravens as the scarier team, because right now, if you take away history, right, and you take away the things that we knew before 2024, Lamar Jackson is the best player alive, right? The best player living, sure, is Lamar Jackson. This is the year that Lamar Jackson becomes the champion. This is the year
Didn't we say that last year?
They were positioned last year to do it.
But here's the other piece of it is, too, though. Last year, the defense was better, right? The defense was better last year, and Lamar started to play great toward the end of the season. He wasn't this animal. Lamar wasn't the animal that every time I watched him walk on the field right now, I know what it's going to be. Lamar Jackson ain't got to win three in one year. He just has to win one. And when I watch this team right now, if I'm preparing to play either one of these teams, I'm more comfortable that I'm going to be in the game with Kansas City and I got to just find a way to win at the end than I am walking into Baltimore knowing that they might blow my doors off because I can't stop them.
Baltimore's two losses this year, right?
Three losses.
Yeah, three. Didn't they just,
Chiefs, Raiders, Browns.
That's right. Chiefs, Raiders, and Browns they lost to.
That's right. That's all you got.
What more do I need, Dusty? I mean, you lost to the Raiders and the Browns in the span of a month. Well, and like, I mean, this is the revisionist week-to-week nature of the NFL, but it's also the stupid nature of the NFL. Because, again, Lamar Jackson has three losses. Patrick Mahomes has zero losses. The Ravens defense is 32nd against the pass, from what Jay Binkley has told us for the last week. 26th in scoring defense. Like, when you have a defense that bad, I don't care how good you are on offense. Ask Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to be there at the end. You're not going to be there holding that championship trophy. You have to have a balanced team. Mm-hmm. And when you're that low on one side of the football in your rankings, you don't win the Super Bowl. Go back and look, because I did this years and years ago when, like, the Rams were really good on offense. Everybody's like, oh, they're so good on offense. They had a top six defense the year in 1999 when they were the greatest show on turf. They had a top six defense that year. And so when you start to look at teams that win the Super Bowl, teams don't win the Super Bowl by having the number one offense and the 26th ranked defense. It just doesn't happen that way, because there's too much to make up for because the defense isn't that good. And so you can sit there and throw rose petals at Lamar Jackson, but he's coming off a loss to the Browns.
And he's just never proved it in the playoffs.
And he's never proven it in the playoffs. He's never won when the moment has mattered. He's never been that guy to lead his team. And so if you want to say the Ravens are a scary team, yeah, they're scary because they're good on offense, but God, they're scary bad on defense.
Which I would even say that the scarier part about the Chiefs is that they haven't fully arrived.
That's the other thing. I mean, right? They've been doing this, like, with injuries, and all their top weapons have been on the sidelines all year.
This was Danon Hughes from Tuesday.
Obviously, there are no other teams that can say they're undefeated, but there are also not very many teams that can say confidently that they haven't played their best football, and they're still in this position as a top team in their division and in the conference. So to me, that's encouraging. I like the fact that we have not arrived yet, and we're just in week eight going into week nine.
So, again, like, I think that the scarier part for the NFL is not the fact that the Chiefs are 7-0. It's the fact that the Chiefs are 7-0 and they're not playing their best football. And I think that's unanimously, we can say that, because
sure,
you watch football games with people that come over or whatever watch party you go to or whatever it may be. And you go to, you know, you go to have those conversations with people on the couch. It's like, man, Mahomes just doesn't look like Mahomes. You know, in fantasy football, he's the 22nd best quarterback right now, which I understand people don't care about your fantasy roster, but out of all the quarterbacks that are in fantasy football right now, Patrick Mahomes 22nd. That number will not be there at the end of the year. He'll be in the top 10. He'll be in the top 15 somehow. And Travis Kelce just had his best game of the season, 9 for 90 and a touchdown. And that happened in week 8. They're 7-0. They played the toughest part of their schedule, and they haven't played their best. And what's even scarier about that is they played the toughest part of their schedule, haven't played their best, and they're still undefeated. So, damn it, I don't understand where this sort of conversation continues to happen, where it's like, well, when they play the Ravens lost to the Browns, they've already lost to the Chiefs, and they lost to the Raiders. Yeah. And the Chiefs beat the Raiders on the road. Ravens lost to the Raiders at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to get frustrated
about it. It's to oranges.
It's moronic, yeah, is what it is. It's like, let's get to January and have these conversations, because right now the only team that I will give you any sort of regular season credit towards is the Buffalo Bills. That game is 3 weeks away, and when we get to that game, then we can have these conversations. And if Buffalo goes in there and puts up 30 points, I'll give you some respect. But until somebody puts 30 points up on the Chiefs and someone can actually beat the Chiefs, let's not have this team is the scariest situation, because we've already seen Baltimore play Kansas City. They did not take care of business.
And we also saw at home. And we also saw Baltimore lose 3 games. You know, so I just can't put Baltimore in that same category right now. If you lose to the Browns and Raiders in the same season, you're just not that good of a team. That's what I'm saying. Like, you lost to the Browns and Raiders. Again, the say it out loud test. When you're losing to teams like that, that are hanging on by a thread, that are basically, you know, they've already woven the white flag. I mean, Amari Cooper got traded. You saw Devontae Adams get traded. Those are two teams that gave up on the season, and they've beaten the Baltimore Ravens. And so that's why I just can't put them in that same category as the Chiefs. The quiet one, as you mentioned, is Buffalo, right? Like, nobody's talking about the Buffalo Bills right now.
Because they've too many people in the past.
Well, and now hasn't Lamar?
Now it's Baltimore's turn. Because last year, Baltimore hasn't been the best team in the AFC record-wise until last year.
Yeah.
And then this year, they've maintained it. But again, they haven't. They're not even first in their division.
What are they, 2 games back of Pittsburgh, or a game and a half back of Pittsburgh, or whatever it is right now? Like,
and somebody says that the Ravens aren't in the first. Why are we not talking about the Steelers? Or why are we talking about the Ravens, not the Steelers? I just don't believe in the Steelers.
Well, the Steelers don't have Lamar Jackson, right?
And they're not getting talked about.
And you're judged by your quarterback in this league. Like, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, chances are you're not going to win. Now, what Pittsburgh is doing is remarkable right now. They're winning football games. They're figuring out, you know, Russell Wilson looks competent back there at this point in time. They've got a great coach, you know, in Mike Tomlin, and they're kind of flying under the radar and doing their thing. But Lamar Jackson's always going to get conversation. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, like, those are your big four, right, of quarterbacks that are always going to be kind of in that conversation. But until you do it when it matters, you can't unseat Patrick Mahomes. And to sit there and say that Lamar is the better player at this point in time, it just is a fallacy, Ryan. I mean, and I love you, man, and I think you're great on ESPN and maybe my favorite person at that network right now, but you're totally wrong on this one, completely wrong on this.
Well, and he's saying, you know, last year, you know, the big difference is this year, you know, Lamar's arrived early on. Lamar won the MVP last year, and they were the number one seed in the AFC,
yeah,
and they were beating teams by 40. Like, there's no difference.
He was great last year.
He was amazing
last year. He played better last year than he did.
He had to carry him because there was no Derrick Henry, so I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's just maybe that's a clip from last year we found. I don't know, but, like, he was totally off the mark on that one.
That or dressing up as Belichick.
Yeah, that was a bad look by Ryan Clark. I don't know that I've ever seen a creepier Halloween costume ever than Ryan Clark, you know, putting on a Belichick mask and wearing that, like, crusty hoodie on the set. That was awful.
How'd that get approved?
I don't know if it did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it did.
That's fair. Now, Belichick's girlfriend dressed up like him. That was a good look. She had his old Giants, you know, shirt on with a short shirt. Oh, my God, yes, because there's this video that I've seen for years of Belichick and Parcells and Lawrence Taylor in, like, 1985 at practice, you know? And so she found that, I guess it was on the Manning cast,
great.
And wore exactly what he was looking. Both are on your phone looking up Belichick's 23-year-old
That's
girlfriend
right.
dressed in a half shirt and short shorts. I mean, it's like Binkley's coaching outfit out there. From 1985, and she found the exact wardrobe outfit, however you want to say it, that Belichick was wearing in 1985 or 86
nice.
And wore it for Halloween. It's crazy.
Right.
That back then, she was 43 years away from being born or something.
Oh, that's weird.
That's weird.
I don't want to.
Did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick's tweet yesterday?
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, like when your girlfriend was like 43 years away from being born at this point in time, or good luck to every 43-year-old that's trying to find a love interest. Your new love interest may be being born at this point in time. Like, I think it's great. I love Bill Belichick.
I think it's awesome.
The way it's going right now, he's taking this 23-year-old. Yeah. He's having fun. He's leaning into it. He's become one of the great personalities on television.
Who would have thought?
I mean, it's perfect. I mean, that's kind of the way sometimes careers go.
Like, yeah.
It's like, you remember Alanis Morissette? Like, every time she would do an interview, she's like, yeah, I just really love music and alternative stuff. And then you hear her songs, you're like, that's the same person?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just kind of flips a switch.
Yep.
Speaking of flipping a switch, Pete Prisco?
Yeah.
Your guy?
Not my guy.
Okay.
I think he's blocked me, too, on X, formerly Twitter. But he's starting to actually come around now and have some sense. It's like he's working in Kansas City. He did his power rankings the other day on CBS Sports and had the Chiefs number one. And this was the quote that kind of got me excited.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, isn't it truly comical that an offense led by Mahomes and Andy Reid leads to doubts about this team? That's moronic. And that is absolutely true. If you're walking around doubting an offense led by Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, then this is your first day on planet Earth. And you have not seen what this team has been capable of doing. At what point, and I asked Ryan Clark this, I asked you guys this, I asked the text line this, at what point will folks just come around to understand that this team is just better than everyone else at everything they do? I think it's going to take a win against Buffalo. Continue to win. Take care of business against the Buccaneers this Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of business against the Denver Broncos, and now all of a sudden you're setting yourself up for that game against Buffalo. And you go into Buffalo and you win that game, I think the perception of everybody that they have on the Chiefs is going to change. I think they're going to look at that game and they're going to say, okay, they went into Buffalo, they took care of business against the Buffalo Bills. It's time to anoint this team as the best in the NFL. But they've already beaten Baltimore, who everybody thinks is the best team. They've already beaten San Francisco. They've already beaten the Atlanta Falcons. They've already beaten the Bengals and the Chargers. You add this one against Buffalo, I think that's officially when everybody else around the country, right before Thanksgiving, finally goes, all right, the Kansas City Chiefs are legit.
Yeah, and they mean business.
Yeah.
Business.
That's what the Chiefs do. They take care of business. They keep, and it's, again, like, I'm with you. I'm happy when people come around and kind of like, you know, this is the team to beat. Like, this is the team. Like, thing is.
Well, I think just people spend so much time trying to figure out why the Chiefs aren't the team instead of just going with the fact of the matter is that they are the team and everybody else is just kind of falling in line. And I know that makes it for a boring national NFL picture. But you know what? I don't care because this Chiefs team is the best in the NFL. And when people try to say that they're not or look for ways that they're not the best team or try to say other teams are the best team, they're the ones that look like the fool.
Yeah, there's always three narratives around the Chiefs. There is somebody in the media tries to crown a team that's not the Kansas City Chiefs because they want to win the take.
That's right.
We've seen it with the Chargers all the time. Bills, Ravens, no one's talking about, you know, anybody else but the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Right.
Or the other one is Detroit's the best team, Kansas City's the second best team, however you want to look at that.
Right.
And then the other one is teams think it's fun to go after you.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati's done it. Hasn't worked out. The Raiders did it. Didn't work out. Travis Kelce of New Heights had this to say about that whole thing.
Drew Tranquil said, Kermit and the boys vibing out in Arrowhead West. There we go. So Allegiant Stadium is now Arrowhead West, according to Drew Tranquil. Love that. Was the Chiefs defense more fired up than usual to play the Raiders with all of the chatter that was going on?
I don't think it really takes
and leading up to the season.
I don't think it really takes chatter for everybody to get fired up for a division rivalry. You know, I think everybody knows what's at stake and everybody wants to, you know, rise to the occasion and really make their statement. All the Kermit stuff that happened between the Raiders and them saying that they had the formula to stop Pat Mahomes. I think that was just, you know, icing on the cake of motivation to really go out there and show them that they didn't have that formula.
Like that's what a 7-0 team's response is.
Exactly.
Like you don't really need the extra, you know, back talk. You already want to beat your division. And, you know, the Chiefs are one win against the Broncos away from winning their division games, all the first round games. Win, win, win. Chargers, right. Broncos, Raiders. Essentially the AFC West could be locked up by next week or after next week. But I mean, that's the difference in Kansas City and everybody else. Like the Raiders, I understand you're the underdog. You want to play the bad guy. You rock the silver and black. Some fan brings the Kermit the Frog puppet. You throw it out there. You pick it up. I'm here. And then, you know, the Bengals want to call it Burrowhead. But at some point, like, and I don't remember this enough because I don't think I was wrapped up in sports enough. I don't know how many teams were out there being like making fun of Tom Brady or, you know, taking jabs. I know the Jets were pretty, with Rex Ryan, were kind of bullish.
Rex was pretty bullish, but that's just his personality.
And that's kind of the equivalent, right?
But the Patriots kind of brought it upon themselves with the cheating, and people had that to fall back on. The Chiefs are doing this with no scandal. The Chiefs are doing this with likable people. The Chiefs are doing this with a team that genuinely you look at and you go, I like every guy on this roster, right? It's like they're not doing it with deflated balls, right? Like Tom Brady's balls were deflated and Belichick's balls were deflated and all that kind of stuff.
The way that they piss people off is they win in almost a lethargic way.
And that's the other thing, too. Yeah.
It's not flashy. Yeah, it's like people going out there be like, damn, Chiefs won 38-7. Like they just beat their ass. It's like, yeah, the Chiefs won their last game 27-20. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. It was 27-13 with 2 minutes left.
Right.
Like, it was over.
It was over.
Like
it was over.
They don't allow points in the second half. They know how to win. Even if it isn't pretty, they still beat you.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's, I always use comparisons to KU basketball. Like, there's times where KU doesn't cover the spread for 2 weeks, right? That's like, what, 3-4 games? Mm-hmm. But yet they win 81-78, 79-77. And it's like, yeah, they're squeaking by, but they're doing what they need to do to win because the regular season, it's about wins. The playoffs is about being that much better than everybody else. And if you solidify yourself a division winner, you've given yourself a home game, majorly important in the playoffs. If you continue to pile up wins, you put pressure on the rest of the league to give yourself a one seed, which means everything goes through Arrowhead, which means you don't have to travel in the postseason until you go to New Orleans to go win a three-peat.
And the other thing too about all of
that's
this is winning games like the Chiefs are doing right now is much more impressive and important than winning games 38-7. A game 38-7, a lot of times you win a blowout game or you win blowout games, it's a false sense of who you truly are. And then you get into these close games and you don't know how to win. The one thing that the Chiefs are figuring out this season, because they've had to do it in just about every game this year, is figuring out how to win, how to come up with a big stop at the end against Baltimore, how to come up with a big play at the end against Cincinnati, how to have a fourth down stop against Atlanta, how to go out to LA and find a way to win that football game. Obviously, you blew out New Orleans by going out to San Francisco, figuring out ways to win a game against a pretty good NFC team, and then obviously the Raiders, and you took care of business pretty handily in that. But when you're figuring out ways, especially in those first 2 weeks of the season against Baltimore and Cincinnati, and then even in week three against Atlanta, you're laying the groundwork because these playoff games are not going to be blowout games, right? You're not blowing teams out in the postseason. They're all going to be close games. And if you've never been in a close game or you don't know how to win close games, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage in the postseason. The Chiefs are going to have a great advantage in the postseason because they know how to win close games and they know how to win as a team as well. It's just not relying on one side of the football.
No doubt about it. But hey, 7-0, going for 8-0 against the Bucks, who have a terrible defense. So maybe this is the week on Monday Night Football in the home crowd where the Kansas City Chiefs put up like 45 points. Who knows? Coming up on the other side, we do power rankings of players and comp them to candies because it is a Halloween here in Kansas City. Happy October 31st. Happy Halloween here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. A happy Halloween to you. Happy Halloween 2024.
Anybody trick-or-treating yet?
I mean, you could.
I mean, could you go out in the morning? Why not?
Wouldn't that be
right?
great? Everybody gets like little espresso shots instead of candy.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Start knocking on your neighbor's door this morning and ask for candy. Today, give me the candy!
Today, coincidentally, is National Doorbell Day.
Oh, is it? I wonder if that is a coincidence.
Probably. But it is Halloween, so we do have a power rankings of candy, but we comp them to Chiefs players.
Uh-huh.
Right? Do you think if you went around and asked 100 people, what's like the most common favorite candy? It would all be like Reese's.
I think so. I think it's the best candy in my opinion out there. You know, I think Reese's is the number one. Yeah,
which would be what, Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, has to be right.
He's the Reese's of Halloween candy.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
has to be.
Yeah,
like I know
absolutely.
There's some people out there that are anomalies. Like, ugh, Reese's gross. I'm like, that's fine. I get it. Maybe you're not a peanut butter chocolate person.
Right.
I don't know how you're not.
Which is very, very rare,
Have you seen the Family Guy clip of how they discovered Reese's?
Yes.
Yeah,
funny. Oh, it's great. Yes.
I'm Officer Reese's. What happened here? He put his peanut butter in my chocolate.
He put his chocolate in my peanut butter.
Boom. Boom. You didn't see anything.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think like we compare Patrick Mahomes earlier this week to the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Everybody has their idea of what they want to do to make it better. And sometimes there's one that has more pizzazz around it than any other. And, you know, but still you find yourself going back more consistently to the original.
Like Lamar Reese's. Could be that like Reese's Fast Break or the Reese's Take Five or the Reese's, you know, some sort of souped up Reese's that's good. But you still like, you know what? Give me the regular Reese's peanut butter cup, man.
I feel like he's like a Hershey's bar. Like, I like a milk chocolate Hershey.
I do, too. The little squares. But like, it's great.
You know, it's good for what it is, but when I need it to be a little bit more, it ain't there.
It is not there, no.
But you know what it is? A Reese's peanut butter cup.
Always there for you. Have you ever been not satisfied after eating a Reese's? Because they should do a commercial. Reese's satisfies.
Okay.
stick to radio.
Yeah. Travis Kelce. I think Travis Kelce is the Snickers.
Okay.
Right? It's not everybody's favorite. It's kind of put out there a little too much that you might like. Like, you're kind of acting grumpy again. You're better when you've had a Snickers. Like, I get it. Snickers is good. Like, I get it. Travis Kelce's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, he's good. We understand it. Like, here we like it, right? It's like our team getting publicity. And, you know, you go around and you start to ask Kansas Cityans, like, you hear it. Like, a couple of my buddies yesterday were like, yeah, I mean, like, I'm kind of over the track. Like, him and Jason,
I've
the
heard
best
that
looking,
a lot. Yeah,
the,
yeah.
Oh, congratulations on the best looking podcast.
Yeah.
But, like,
they
what
didn't
they,
look at us, I guess.
What they, no doubt.
I mean, seriously, what was People Magazine thinking? If they looked at us, they would vote us the best looking podcast in the country.
Not bad looking.
I mean, have
guys.
You seen some of the people that do our jobs?
10 to 2.
Yeah.
But
I was thinking about that. No, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah,
there.
Easy. You think about, like, what?
If we were all donate, who would be the most coveted?
I guess you have to describe that. Like, donate and most coveted.
Yeah. Like, if we were all to donate our...
Ourselves?
Not ourselves.
No, not ourselves.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Come on, you get there.
Yeah.
The vein and the Snickers?
Yeah, the vein and the Snickers. If we were all to donate, if we were all to say, all right, we're all donating, who would be the most coveted at the station?
It'd be me.
I think it would be me.
No chance. You're married.
So?
That takes a lot.
What?
That takes a lot out of it. Like, a lot of people are like, he's married, I don't want to mess with that.
No, you're not messing with it. You're donating. You're going and you're choosing from a catalog. You understand
yes,
where I'm going
where
with this,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like Cody's got something that we don't know about. Man's got a ton of confidence, dude. Cody's got a ton of confidence, man. He might be having something that we don't know about. Like, I just last name's Tap, man. I don't know if you've seen Taps on Maine, but you know. I think Travis Kelce is the Snickers.
See, right? I would go with the peanut M&M because that's my second favorite candy. If you throw those peanut M&Ms at me, man, I am going all in on peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, I mean. Maybe.
I'm just not a huge Snickers fan. I don't know. Whatever.
And other M&Ms are good. I guess it's a good comparison because other tight ends are good. Other M&Ms are good. But
the peanut butter M&M is by
really
far
good.
The peanut
best.
M&M will always be my favorite just because of the longevity of the peanut M&M. But that peanut butter is a close second. That could be Brock Bowers, the peanut butter M&M. And I saw they're coming out with like cinnamon and vanilla latte M&Ms. I don't need that.
No.
And you know what wasn't good was the pretzel M&M.
You know what it was is the caramel M&M.
That was a good one,
very
too.
Good.
That was another good one.
That was a solid. Let them get a little warm in your hand.
Warm, yeah. But they don't melt in your hand. They melt in your mouth, it says. It's right in the slogan.
Chris Jones, I think he's a few different ones, right? Like, Mac has him down as, like, the nerds gummy cluster.
See, I think he's the Laffy Taffy of the bunch.
Comes with a joke, but also gets the job done.
Like the Laffy Taffy. You laugh at the joke inside the wrapper, even though it's a dad joke. A lot of Chris Joneses are dad jokes, right? And he gets the job done. And you're always satisfied after a piece of Laffy Taffy. You're like, all right, good. And sometimes you got to pick it out of your teeth, and that's Chris Jones picking the quarterback off the ground or whatever it is. So I went with the Laffy Taffy
That's a good one. The only reason I was thinking Nerds Gummy Clusters is because I feel like it's been around a long time, but everyone thinks it's new. In these past couple years, I'm like, oh my gosh, have you tried Nerds? They've been around for 15 years. I feel like that with Chris Jones. Hey, this guy's been here for 7 years. He's one of the best defensive, maybe the best defensive player in the league, and now it feels like he's kind of finally starting to get that shine this last season or so.
But I think Chris Jones, in my opinion, is playing the best football he's ever played this year. And I don't know what it is, why he's jumping out at me this year. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they signed him to that contract, and you always wonder if he's going to live up to the contract, or he's just going to cash in for time served. This guy's playing unbelievable football right now, and I know people will say Dexter Lawrence can rival him for best defensive lineman out there right now. Dexter Lawrence isn't on a winning team right now. He's a phenomenal player.
Amazing.
I try to trade for him and put him next to Chris Jones. I think it'd be an outstanding pairing of those two. Right? Yeah, exactly. It'd be outstanding to have that. But Chris Jones is just playing at another level on a team that's undefeated, that is challenging for a Super Bowl, and he is the catalyst of that defense that hasn't given up 30 points since the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles. For me, he's a better player than Dexter Lawrence is right now.
Somebody says, who's the Sour Patch Kids? Well, you got to remember their slogan. First they're sour, then they're sweet. I would say that's probably Carson Steele. Right? Like, the fumbles were a little sour.
Sure.
You but since then, he's kind of patched it up.
Yeah,
no pun.
What about Nick Bolton?
Yeah,
beginning of the season, people were down on Nick Bolton, right. And then the Falcon game happened, and then Nick Bolton has been like, we got to sign this guy.
Somebody says that Sky Moore would be like a Mounds bar in Almond Joy. When I first tried it, I thought it was pretty good, and then I had another one and realized, nah, same my thing.
Yeah, see, I like Mounds and Almond Joy, so I wouldn't go there. Like, I think to me, like, Sky Moore would be kind of like those bottle caps, you know, that you get that are like just
the Coca-Cola flavor's good.
That not a huge bottle cap.
I feel like he's the orange and black taffy that you'd got. Nobody wants to see that in their bag,
right?
Like, nobody needs to.
That looks like a Tootsie Roll that you think, and then it's not a Tootsie Roll. Yeah. Or
and it can give you a core injury.
Yeah, it could absolutely get stuck on you in there. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like McCole Hardman is like Bazooka Bubblegum or Big League Chew. Like, it has a lot of pizzazz, a lot of flavor, but it runs out fast.
That's a good one.
It does. It loses it fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt says that they're the Sour Patch. Duh.
No, I think Kareem Hunt is, to me, he's the Gobstopper, the everlasting Gobstopper, right? That's their full slogan. It's the everlasting Gobstopper. Kareem Hunt is still playing good football when he clearly shouldn't be playing good football anymore because of his age. Mm. But man, he's still there. And you try to bite down on that Gobstopper, it's still hard. Keep sucking.
Yeah. What do you think George Karloftis is? Like the Heath bar?
Heath bar's a good one. The Heath or Score? Yeah, that's a good comparison. Heath bar. Yeah.
Somebody said Anthony Richardson's a take five. Whoever said that could take
the day off. That's really good. Way to go. That is really good.
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
I love it. Yeah.
That made my morning.
That was great.
Anthony Richardson is a take five. Oh, man. Or he's a really Kit Kat. Give me a break.
Yeah. You know?
God, I love a Kit Kat. They don't get enough credit.
Kit Kats are great, man.
That commercial I've seen recently, it's like the kids go to the door and the lady's got a basket full of Kit Kats and Reese's.
Yeah, which are you taking?
And then the lady shows up in a costume and she's both. She goes, you get both. Yeah. I'm like, Kit Kat's kind of underrated.
Kit Kat is very
little
good.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Little underrated. Yeah. So, Halloween themed, players and candies. We'll do one of those every hour, but let's have fun here. Somebody that belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we say yes. What do you say? 913-586-795. We get to that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports in the morning.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.